understands we're recording the call so that folks who couldn't join us can go online and listen to the call.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're just waiting a few more minutes for folks to join us, and then we'll do a roll call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, this is David Hanney here.
Hi, David.
Jasco Applied Sciences.
Hey. Good morning, folks. We're just waiting another minute or so for folks to get on the line.
Good morning, Bodhi Bloom, UAF.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hi, this is Jackie Grebmeyer.
Hi, Jackie. We've got several people on the line already. We're just giving it another minute or so. We had, for everyone's information, I had almost 50 people RSVP.
Oh, excellent.
For the line, if you wouldn't mind muting your phones when you're not speaking, I think that when there's several people on the line, that we get.
I just have to figure out how to do it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Carlton Ray of University of Virginia.
Good morning, Carlton.
And this is Charles Pete Peterson who came on. Carolina.
Okay.
Hello. Yeah, we've got several people on the line. We're just waiting another minute or so, and then we'll do a roll call.
Danielle, do you have someone who's going to be recording people's names?
Yeah.
Keep up with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I will be. I'll be doing that, and then I'm also going to make a request to anyone who has an RSVP to send me an email so that I'll have an email address and the information in your signature to put on our contact list.
Okay, we're going to hold off. We have about 50 people that we're expecting, and we've got about 40 on the line or so. We're going to wait 2 more minutes, and then we'll start at 5 past.
Fifty people are going to be talking together.
Probably have quite a conversation about the weather around the country. We've got folks on the East Coast, the Midwest, but in Alaska and Seattle, everybody calling in. So.
It's too hot down here, Virginia.
It's absolutely perfect in Rhode Island.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I hear a lot of. I'm Dr. Maury Craig.
Hi, Maury. We're holding on for a few more minutes and we get started.
Okay. So I'm just going to hang on here for a second or two.
Yeah, just hang in there. There's lots of other people on the phone.
Great. Who am I talking to? Is this Daniel?
Danielle and Francis, yes, at NPRB. And also, at the NPRB office, we also have our executive director, Cynthia Sutchman, here. And we have some folks listening in from the Alaska Ocean Observing System, too.
Okay. It's a little hard to hear you. I'm sorry. I heard some executive director in.
Okay. Well, we'll go through it in a minute. Just hold on.
No problem.
Okay, I got five past. Good morning, everyone. This is Francis Beasley. I'm the science director with the North Pacific Research Board. I'll try to moderate this discussion and give you a brief introduction. In terms of logistics, I'd like to make everybody aware that we will be recording. Actually, we started recording this conversation already, and we'll be recording the entire on the NPRB website afterwards for people to be able to download it and listen to the question-answer period if they weren't able to join the call. Also, there will be a meeting summary that we will write up and post on the website as well. And that's just to make it really nice and open for everybody who cannot join us this morning. The purpose of this call, as you saw in the email that was sent out, is to be an information call where we'll go through and recap some of the main things that were released in the RFP, scope, some of what we consider to be the highlights, and I expect that to be about 15 minutes or so, and then we'll have an unstructured kind of question-answer period, which we will try to keep track of as best as we can, given that we're set up on the phone. So if you'd like to answer questions at the end, please just state your name, and we'll make a list and try to go through it and address everybody's questions as best as possible. For the ease of everybody being able to listen nice and clearly and avoid echoes and other strange noises, please mute your phones if at all possible, and then, of course, don't forget to unmute. That will keep it quiet and hopefully really clear. If you don't have a mute button on your phone, star 6 should do it for you. And then you.
Leandro D'Souza, North Slope Borough.
Thank you. Yeah. So. The first thing I'd like to do is there's a lot of folks on
the
phone,
and
I want
people
to be aware who else is on the phone and who else they're talking to. There will be a full list of participants, or as full as we can make it, that we will post with the meeting summary. If you did not RSVP, please send Danielle Dixon an email. Her email address was listed in the call for the email that went out to announce this call. Please send her your contact information so that you can be added, if you want to the list. That would make our life a lot easier for everybody else as well. Okay, so our handy-dandy tool here says we got about 43 people that are on the call, and there's five people here around the phone here as well. So we'll start with introductions here on the phone. We're all in Anchorage. And then
keep it way down.
We'll
ask
people
hear
to go from north to south as best as possible. I think we can sort of see where we are, and hopefully we get everybody. Please state your name, where you are, and your affiliation. Just that very briefly, and then we'll know who's on. Okay, so again, for those who just called, my name is Francis Vize. I'm the science director for the North Pacific Research Board here in Anchorage.
I'm Danielle Dixon with the North Pacific Research Board.
Cynthia Sutchman. I'm the executive director of the North Pacific Research Group.
I'm Ollie McCammon with the Alaska Ocean Observing System here in Anchorage.
Rosa Meehan with the Ocean Observing System here in Anchorage.
Okay, we'll start north. Anybody?
I haven't sort of piped in. I'm Maury Cray at Oregon State University, College of Vet Medicine.
Thank you, Maury. We're going to go from north to south, okay? So we'll get to Oregon in a minute.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So North Slowboro, there's, I noticed people in Barrow, Kotzebue. Let's start in Barrow. Anybody from Barrow?
Leandra D'Souza, Biological Department.
Okay, Leandra, thank you.
Department of Wildlife Management in Barrow.
Anybody else in Barrow? Okay, Kotzebue? Okay, anybody, Fairbanks?
Susan Pantelev.
Okay, I got Gleb Pantelev, Susan Sugai, yes. Is that right?
Yes.
John Walsh.
John Walsh.
Yep. Amy Turner from ABR.
Hello, Amy.
Phil Loring at UAF.
Yep. Russ Hopcroft, UAF.
Woody Bloom, UAF.
Anybody else in Fairbanks?
John Monahan, UAF, UA.
Okay. Anybody else north of Anchorage? Okay. Anybody else in Anchorage?
Cheryl, the U.S. Arctic Research Commission.
Okay, Cheryl, thank you.
Tom Dunning, Newberry, Anchorage.
Michael McCrander, Shell, Alaska.
Rachel Daniel Pugh, Anchorage.
Okay. Good morning, Rochelle.
Hi, it's Ann Hollowood.
Okay, we're getting to Seattle in a minute. Ann, thank you.
Good morning. This is Dr. Glenn Chin from the Bureau of Indian Affairs from Anchorage.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else in Anchorage? All right, how about Homer? How about Juno?
Chris Krenz, Oceana.
Morning, Chris. Okay, anybody else in Southeast Alaska? Okay, I think we've covered Alaska. Seattle, anybody in Seattle?
Yes, Lyman Thorstenson with U.S. Geological Survey.
Matt Baker with the Alaska Fishery Science Center.
Lisa Guy with University of Washington, GSAO.
Well, we are not actually from the U.S. We are here in Canada. So we're from the city of Calgary. My name is Dr. Edgar Herrera.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, did not mean to forget Canada. Anybody else in Canada?
Yeah, here's John Nelson, University of Victoria.
Hey, John.
And Dave Haney from Jasco Applied Sciences, also in Victoria.
Okay, we have three people here at the Institute of Ocean Sciences in Sydney, B.C. It's Peter Ross on the phone now, and then Lisa Lozetto from Winnipeg, and Eloise Frouin.
Andy Whitehouse, University of Washington, and also with me is Dr. Stephanie Sador of the Alaska Fishery Science Center.
And Karen Iden as well. Alaska Fishery Science Center.
Morning, Karen.
Hey.
Morgan Busby from the Alaska Fisheries Science Center.
Jennifer Ferdinand with the Alaska Fisheries Science Center.
Jeff Knapp, Alaska Fisheries Science Center. Okay, anybody else in Seattle?
Cal Morey, UW.
Cal?
And Ann Hollowood, Alaska Fisheries Science Center.
Okay, I am. Anybody else in Washington State? Okay, I'm going to do an east to west thing because that's easier. Oregon. Anybody in Oregon?
Maury Craig at Oregon State University.
Close enough. Thank you. Anybody else in Oregon? Okay, it's just somebody from Seattle who joined. The person who just joined. Just say your name, please. don't want to. Okay. Okay, anybody else in Oregon State? How about California?
There's two of us in Santa Cruz, California, myself, Lee Erickson, and Ann Gibb at the USGS.
Laura Deans with the North Pacific Research Board.
Who was that? Could you restate your name, please?
Laura Deans with the North Pacific Research Board.
Hi, Laura. Okay, anybody else in California? Okay, so I'm trying to look at this name, so, the names here. So Colorado, anybody Colorado?
Jim Moore from NCAR at the Earth Observing Laboratory in Snowy Boulder.
All right.
Don Stott from NCAR in Boulder.
Hey, Don. Anybody else in Colorado? Let's see. Texas. There's somebody from Texas. I know there's somebody with a Houston number. Okay, maybe they're not there. Okay, anybody? I don't know how to say. North Carolina.
Charles Pete Peterson, University of North Carolina. Hi, Francis.
Hi, how you doing? Okay, we got Maryland.
Jackie Grebmeyer, Chesapeake Biological Lab, actually sitting in South Carolina right now.
Okay.
and Lee Cooper, same institution.
Hey, Lee. Okay, let's see. Washington, D.C.
Brendan Kelly, Office of Science and Technology Policy.
Hey, Brendan. New Jersey.
You left Virginia out.
Virginia, then.
You roll around it. Carlton Ray, University of Virginia.
Thank you. Anybody else in Virginia? All right. New Jersey. Okay. Anybody else in anywhere else?
Yeah. Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Igor Belkin, University of Rhode Island.
Anybody else? Okay, I think we... All right, good. That was our geography lesson of the morning. Yeah.
So this is Danielle. If any of you who've joined the call have not already sent me an RSVP email, please make sure to email danielle.dixon@nprb.org so I can make sure I have your email address on our contact list. Thank you.
All right, I guess, again, this is Francis. If you want to be on the list because you're looking to collaborate with people or you want to know who joined, please do that, and then the list will be posted on the website. Also, this conversation is being recorded, so just be aware for the folks who just joined, and there will be a summary posted on our website sometime next week. Okay, so I'll just reiterate 2 points. I will describe the scope of the RFP and the purpose, and I will highlight a few things that we consider highlights in the RFP, and then we'll have a question and answer period. Given the amount of folks, I count 45 that are currently on the phone, we will try to address these questions as best as possible in a timely manner. So please be patient as we try to negotiate that. Okay, so the RFP, the Arctic Synthesis and Research Needs that we released in early January, has two main components. It has a synthesis component and a identification of research needs component. The idea here, what we're really after, is a comprehensive synthesis of knowledge of the Arctic, both of the physical, biological, and human components of the system. And what we're after is to have a kind of pulled together synthesis of what we know of the Arctic system overall. That should include all parts in an equal amount. We're not laying one more heavy than the other, but we're looking for a comprehensive look of what the current state of knowledge is in the Arctic. And here I will just emphasize that it's not only a compilation of current knowledge in each of the parts of the ecosystem, but also to try to emphasize the linkages and a more comprehensive view of what we know of the mechanisms and linkages of those parts. And that, of course, requires not only bringing together all the different components individually and keep them in their boxes, but to think cross-cutting and multidisciplinary and think what the, and think about what those things really mean together. Okay, so that's what we define as a synthesis. So we're not looking for a one special issue that's just going to have a series of lots of papers on individual topics. We are looking for cross-cutting issues. Okay. The other part, and I would note here at this moment, the geography as laid out in the RFP is St. Lawrence Island and north through the Bering Strait, the Chukchi, and the Beaufort. And specifically for the Chukchi Sea, whereas the overall effort here, what we're after, given where we are, is U.S. water. Certainly for the Chukchi Sea, wherever possible, it makes a lot of sense to pull in Russian data as available and applicable. Okay, so and that's specified in the RFP, and you can go back to that as well. The second part that the RFP called for was an identification of research needs. And here what we're looking for is for people to think about, once they've got the sense of the data sets that are out there and the type of data and the resolution and time and space of the data that exist, is to see where some of the major gaps are, and on the basis of that, to come up with a list that hopefully over time will get more detailed of what research needs really are, with the emphasis of understanding ecosystem processes and linkages, especially given changes that we've seen and observed that people have documented, but other linkages between different parts of the ecosystem, perhaps undiscovered or undescribed, which would prove very really relevant to understand the future of the ecosystem in the Arctic. And it's up to people really of how to best do that by area, or how they best want to organize that in time and space, because it depends on what people bring together. But the overall intent of that part, which is a crucial part and kind of goes hand in hand with the synthesis I just talked about, is to be an input to broader research planning for the Arctic. There's lots of organizations that are looking to do more in the Arctic, perhaps on a bigger scope in the future, and this would feed directly into that and into the priority setting. And I'm sure there'd be more questions about that, and I can talk more about it, but I'm going to just mention that for now and so not get too sidetracked into the details. So in terms of the highlights in the RFP, what I mentioned about comprehensive, what we're looking for, there is a list of data sets or programs that we listed on page 5 of the RFP. This is not meant to be a fully comprehensive list. We recognize there's probably lots of other data sets out there. These are some of the main ones that we want to ensure do get included in this effort, but certainly you're not restricted to those. If there's other ones that you have, obviously include them, the better. The more comprehensive, obviously, the results will be. Also, one of the key things in terms of programmatically is that the approach that we're taking here is that we're looking for one team. We're looking for a comprehensive, multidisciplinary team that will pull it all together. At this stage, we're not looking for individual pieces because we want people to collaborate, and we want to have an overarching thing to be able to facilitate these cross-cutting linkages and mechanisms that we're after and the understanding that we're after. So the intent right now of the Institute is to fund one team and that kind of one-winner-take-all approach. Within that, though, I will say that collaborations and partnerships with ongoing efforts will be critical, and also an awareness of future projects that are already planned in terms of identification research needs will be critical. So we very much encourage, and we've listed several of these programs and ongoing efforts both in terms of identifying research needs as well as syntheses that are ongoing, partial syntheses for the most part that are ongoing. We very much encourage that people applying to this contact those programs and those people and work out collaborations and partnerships with them. The other part that we specify in the RFP that I'd like to highlight is the Alaska communities. There is the human component, just as every other component, of course, is very important to the ecosystem, especially in the, specifically in the Arctic. And there's a section in there that talks about Alaska communities. And in terms of research needs, there is a requirement in the RFP that the principal investigators make an effort to contact communities and community members and organizations to look over their research needs and their priorities and some of their knowledge that they have, and to recirculate once that those needs are identified to make sure that those are well understood and covered. To facilitate that, we have included an appendix that Danielle put together that has a lot of contacts and in some of the main organizations and key people. I'm sure there's lots of other people, but these are the ones that we are aware of that have contacted us in the past with interest in this as well. And so we encourage you to take a look at this list as you're formulating your RFP and think about how to best include those folks or at least contact them to look for input from them as well. Finally, the last point I want to make is the timeline, which is detailed on page 7 of the RFP. We fully recognize that this is very ambitious and very fast. And so you can see that obviously the proposals are due March 9th, like you all know, so that's a little over a month from now. And we expect that the Institute will make decisions in early May. The board, who will make recommendations to the Institute, meets the first week of May. And we will try to follow through as best as possible, quickly as possible, right after that with proposal notice selection of the proposals that that have been awarded any funds, so that things can march forward quite quickly. You can see there also that given the amount of time it takes to put agreements in place, we really the earliest start that you could have in your proposal would be June 1, and that's optimistic, of course. It really depends on the institutions that that you operate in. Some institutions have been very good in the past with letters of intent to fund, and people can start working quite quickly. In other places, it takes more time, and they were waiting until everything is finalized, and depending on the bureaucracy of your institution, that may or may not get delayed. So, and you all know better than I do what those are, but from our standpoint, June 1 will be the earliest start date. Then there's three steps in here. Because we are embarking on a broader planning of Arctic research and an Arctic research plan, the timeliness to this in which we are looking for input. Somebody has a lot of noise in the background. If you could mute your phone, please, that would be helpful. Thank you. We have noted a couple of things. The first one here is that by January, so that's about 7 months or so after work, we're looking for an initial list of research needs, and that does not have to be a full list or a fully fleshed out list necessarily, but we're looking for an initial list to have input into our planning documents. We can talk more about that. Then we're looking for what we call here a finalized list in mid-June. That has to do with the planning that we have for this broader effort. So allowing 6 more months to flesh those out, and people can think about to prioritize those. And to help that, the team, of course, that you will all put together to put a proposal in should help. There's also an advisory committee that's detailed in the RFP that could help with prioritization if necessary as well. So people could think about the phased approach potentially of how to do these research needs at different levels of detail as time goes on. What we are looking for is to have a finalized, prioritized list by the dates as indicated so that the other planning can go forward. There's more questions about the timeline, but that's kind of what we're looking for, and that's specified as the RFP right now. I'm not sure if there's somebody who got kicked off and or just joined new. Could you identify yourself, please? Somebody from California?
It's Jackie.
Oh,
Right. No, this is Jackie. I had to recall in. I'm trying to mute it.
Okay. All right. That was really quick from going from South Carolina to California there, Jackie. All right.
We all know Jackie, and she can do it if anyone.
That's right. She can do it if anybody can. Okay.
All right, guys. Continue.
So those are really the main points I wanted to go over and not take too much time. I have 10:30, so I really want to allow enough time for questions and answers. Again, there's a lot of people on the phone, and we'll try to do this as smoothly as we possibly can. And if people can ask their questions and then go back to mute, please, that'll help a lot. So let's see. Perhaps people, if people who want to ask a question can state their names, and then we'll write those down, and then I'll try to address people in that order. And some things may obviously fall away because maybe duplicative. Let's see how that works. So that everybody gets a chance. So any questions? So who can you state your name if you'd like to ask questions?
Carlton Ray.
Okay.
Jim Moore.
Who was that?
Jim Moore.
Jim, okay. Anybody else?
Lee Cooper, I'll ask a question.
Okay, Lee. Okay, well, this will be easy. If there's no onslaught of questions, then we can take them in this order, and then we can be less structured then, and we can just see how it goes. So I'll take these three people first and then see where we are. So, Carlton, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a biogeographic question. The boundary at the St. Lawrence Island is a little bit peculiar, and I wonder if you could explain why that was chosen. For example, all of Beringia, the Bering Sea, Chukchi, and Beaufort, are considered by most people as a unit. Certainly animals know that, and having that boundary at St. Lawrence cuts out the, sort of like cutting out the breeding from the migration, you know. You can't do an animal that way, and I just wonder, and the same is true of sea ice. The sea ice sets up in the Bering and has a lot to do with what happens in the Chukchi. So could you please explain why this is the case?
Sure, yeah, I'd be happy to. So the reason we set that boundary is because it's basically a northward continuation of our Bering Sea program. And the Bering Sea program ended at St. Lawrence Island. And a lot of data got pulled together and synthesized and is currently being analyzed as part of that project. And
okay.
So our intention was to not overlap there and go from there north.
Okay.
Certainly, though, I'll note there certainly that when there's processes and animals that occur north, influences on their you know, behavior, population trends, physical processes, and so that links to certain in the south, you know, you wouldn't just cut that part off. But things that only occur south of St. Lawrence Island and never venture north would be excluded here.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Sort of. I wonder if you could, I was unaware of that previous study, and I wonder if you could make that available in your minutes.
Certainly, yeah, and I invite you to go to the NPRB website and click the Bering Sea link, and you will get more than you ever wanted to know about
okay.
The Bering Sea.
Yeah, I know about that. Okay, fine.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Carlton. Jim?
Yeah, thanks. My question is, the timing of when these proposals are due is curious, given the barely 2 weeks later, there's a U.S. Arctic Observing Coordination meeting, which I'm sure you're aware of, Francis, and of course several in the room have been invited to or are on the steering committee for. And I'm curious the timing of this versus that. It would seem to me that anyone who's attempting to integrate, especially
Jackie, if that's you in the air, the music ends. Part six.
Anyhow, the
sunglasses at checkpoint B. Please return to the plane. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure, you don't miss that plane. Okay, sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
That's all right. Anyhow, the timing of this coordination meeting and the timing of when your proposal are due ahead of that, it would seem we all of us, anybody who might be interested in your effort would learn a lot participating in this effort, in the coordination meeting. So I'm curious what the options are here. We're going to miss, I think, a good opportunity where a bunch of people are coming together to try to deal with, it seems like, the very issue that you're getting at in the second part of your proposal related to recommendation of resources and future activities for monitoring.
Yeah, Jim, I know that is unfortunate that wasn't flipped. The timeline that we went through is that we were trying to process these proposals as best and as quickly as possible, given that our board meets in early May, and still have enough time after the proposals are submitted to a proper review of the proposals and then run it through our regular process. And so the timeline, our timeline and deadline was really guided by it. Giving it 2 more weeks would have not made that possible, or would have been too much crunch time for outside reviews of the proposals. So I recognize the difficulty, and all I could say is I would encourage, people that would propose to that and who are aware of this other effort, which would, could make mention of the effort in some way, and would look to collaborate with people involved with those efforts as well.
Thank you.
But yeah, there's always too many meetings and too many other deadlines. It always, sometimes it always makes it difficult. Thank you. Lee, you had a question?
Yeah, Francis. I just wondered what NPRB was thinking in terms of the final synthesis product down the road. Is it like a glossy book that Elsevier or somebody would publish, or a special issue, or of a peer-reviewed journal? I'm trying to separate that from what you need to do in the time frame that the money's available that you spent, and just wondered kind of what was the vision at the end that you would like to see?
Yeah, that's a good question, Lee. I mean, I think there's two parts, as you point out. The one is a programmatic need product, and that's in the timeline specified in the RFP, so that we could have input into a broader planning effort. And so that would come, as part in form of a report to us. The other part is really quite open. And it would really be up to the two PIs. I think a synthetic publication that brings this part together would certainly be desirable, and I think interesting for people to pursue, whether it be a book or a special issue or some other type of publication, electronic or in print, is certainly something that would be great to come out of this. But there's no specification to it, and we want to leave that open to the people proposing.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, other questions?
Yes, Svetlana Machurina and Dr. Edgar Rera, Edlo, Canada. We will have 2 questions.
Go ahead.
So my question is, we're a Canadian company. So are we eligible to participate in this, or do we have to partner with a Canadian or U.S. university or a U.S. company to participate?
Okay, yeah, good question. We have no restriction of who we fund. Any organization who receives the money, has to be a registered organization so that they can properly get the funds. But we have funded lots of other organizations in the past from different countries, whether it be consulting firms or universities, state government agencies. There's no restriction. So whereas I always encourage partnerships and collaborations with lots of different organizations and people where applicable and necessary, certainly you're not ruled out as a Canadian organization.
Okay.
And Cynthia would like to add to the answer.
I will say that, Cynthia Sutchman, that one thing that new organizations should keep in mind is that we have traditionally paid invoices as reimbursable, which I know has been an issue for some folks in Canada in the past. So that is a practical restriction, but it isn't based upon whether you're overseas or not.
Does that answer your question, Lon?
I guess it does. Thank you.
Okay, Jed, a second question?
Yes. The second question is, well, right now I understand that you are a collecting all the databases. So my question is, is the all this quality data, quality control, is part of the project or just collect the data that are already pass all the control quality?
Okay, so we I'm not sure I understand your first statement. We are not collecting the data, so the efforts here that we're looking to fund is in charge of bringing all those data sets together in whichever way they see fit. And of course, in order to use them, they would have to do quality control. But that is really up to the PIs to do. We obviously would expect that any data being used would go through a QA/QC process, whether that also already happened or is part of the part that the people still need to undertake is really up to the PIs and the data sets.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, good question. Other questions?
Yeah, Dave Haney here, if I can get one in.
Go ahead.
Many of the people on this call are people with expertise in individual disciplines, and it's going to be difficult for them to perhaps make contact with companies that might want to tie this all together. Is there some venue where we can put out our capabilities and have others review who might be interested in tying this together?
Yes, absolutely. And that is actually one of the reasons why we facilitate this call and why we will put the names of all the people partaking in this call in the meeting summary. We have gotten that question and are aware that sometimes that's difficult to find, you know, enough collaborators across the entire parts of the ecosystem to pull this together. And what we're hoping is that people that have RSVP'd and will provide the information to Danielle, and everybody will have everybody else's contact information, so you all can start working on collaborating. So that will be accessible to you next week, the full list of people that are at least on this call. And I expect you're not the only one who's looking for other people from other disciplines to hook up with.
That's right. And perhaps we could send in our fields of expertise in case others are not familiar with that, too.
Absolutely. Whoever would like to do that and sees value in that, please do so. Send it to the same email address, and we will compile a spreadsheet that will have your name and your contact information and, if you so desire, field of expertise. And if you want to indicate I'm looking to collaborate, we can put that on there as well. We'll put whatever you provide and like to distribute to the group. We'll include that in that document.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, Peter Ross here.
Go ahead, Peter.
Quick question, calling from Sydney, B.C., just following in the footsteps of a couple of those points. We're situated in Canada. We're not terribly interested in promoting a leadership role in this perspective, but might offer a couple of points. One is directly following up on the last question, that there are a number of experts in Canada working on Arctic issues, Beaufort Sea, Bering Sea, North Pacific, and they may wish to offer some input into a larger project. That's from a scientific standpoint. But secondly, from a geopolitical standpoint, there are a number of other research projects, other funds within Canada that are supporting major research projects as well as synthesis efforts. So I might simply offer up that it would be important to highlight potential geopolitical linkages that would serve this the goal of this particular RFP, this particular effort, and one might want to, in the review process and the construction of these teams, consider linkages that look at expertise outside of Alaska or outside of the geographical boundaries, seeing as many of the ecosystems being evaluated are really shared transboundary environments with with peoples, First Peoples, Inuit people that share resources. They're migratory species of a number of seabirds, marine mammals, fishes, etc. So just making the point that while there are legal and technical borders and boundaries, that it'll be good to get some expertise in from a science perspective, but also from a geopolitical perspective to access those documents, efforts, reports, institutions that are working on bordering territories.
Yes, thank you, Peter, and I think that's an excellent point, and so I invite you to submit your contact information and interest to Danielle, and so we can put that in there. And as much as I highlighted kind of the Russian side of the Chukchi Sea, obviously there's lots of kind of cross-boundary cutting things in the Beaufort with some of the Canadian efforts as well. So those are just as important. Because our mandate is in U.S. waters, that's what we have highlighted, but certainly there's a lot of benefit in making those linkages with the Canadian efforts and the Russian efforts as well. So please do submit this information and your contact information and interest to Danielle, and it will be included in the documents that will be provided afterwards.
This is John Walsh from UAF. Could I ask a question that follows up one of the earlier ones about the data quality and so on? The synthesis term implies inventorying, determining gaps, and that type of thing. How far beyond the metadata, information about the data sets, do you expect this project to go in terms of assessing quality, assessing ease of access, or even fostering access?
Well, as stated in the RFP, John, we're looking for people to identify the data sets and provide information about them in terms of metadata, also accessibility and so on. But then, of course, as part of the synthesis, it goes far beyond that because we're looking for people to combine data sets to be able to ask the broader ecological questions.
So what I'm really getting at is there a data center function in this that you see, or is it the steps prior to what a data center would do?
We have not specified a data center function because data management efforts are costly and take a lot of time and can become very complicated. And given that the data sets that we anticipate people will have or want to use as part of this effort come in lots of different shapes and sizes and flavors. Some of them are in great shape, some of them are not. People will have some of their own data, will look for collaborations with other data sets, and given the timeline that we've specified in the RFP, depending on who is involved, may or may not be possible to actually produce a whole big part of a data management system as part of this. And so we've left this open for the applicants to find their best solution given their goals.
Okay, thanks.
Some of that is specified in the RFP as well, I think.
Yep. Francis, Russ Hopcroft, I got a question.
Go ahead, Russ.
Yep, two things. Many of us are used into projects to having the opportunity to ask for a no-cost extension. Is this going to be one of those cases, or is this going to be an absolute deadline?
Well, Russ, what we're looking for is as specified in the RFP, is input about these research needs on the time that's specified in there. So at least part of the product that we're looking for a specific timeline, because otherwise it would have lots of cascading effects. But there's other parts, for example, that like Lee talked about, where you want to have special issues or books or other things that come with all of that or after all of that, the timeline can be more flexible if necessary.
So the report then that actually has the meat of what you found, you're expecting inside that timeline, but published products, of course, would fall outside of it because of the review process and the printing process. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Second question. What you're implying, if we want all this data and it's supposed to be cross-disciplinary as opposed to a series of chapters in something, is that this is going to have to be a numerical model. I would be surprised to find a model that's running that would be appropriate to build upon for this area. And given that, how do you then work the human dimension part into a numerical model that would be able to cross-cut against the standard scientific disciplines such as physics, chemistry, biology?
Yeah, good question. And I'm going to evade the answer because I don't want to give you my view of what I think, how I would do it. I think people need to figure out how to best do it and bring these parts together. All I will say is there are numerical models that exist that are in different shapes that include lots of ecological processes already. So I invite you to investigate those a bit further on the people that have worked on them. And there has been in other programs elsewhere internationally that have looked at how to best integrate human dimensions and issues, and that can be and has been done sometimes holistically, sometimes partially, depending on the issues.
Yeah. Are you aware of any of these projects that have been able to complete themselves in a one-year time frame?
Well, it has differed. Whether to what extent you can do it, everybody needs to figure out on their own.
Okay.
I'm trying to be, I know I'm being evasive, but I don't want to influence this because everybody's going to come up with their own ideas.
All right.
Molly has a question.
Okay, this is Molly McCammon. I have a follow-up question to Russ's. Since, Francis, your answer basically was, in essence, that there are certain deliverables that you want within a year, but there are other deliverables you would consider in that no-cost extension. Would you consider, and the feedback I've heard in talking informally with a lot of people is there's a lot of concern about being able to deliver this within the one-year time frame. Would you consider changing this to a two-year project with more distinct deliverables within that first-year time frame, as you've suggested, but up front saying that there's a two-year time frame and that other things could be delivered in that second year, rather than just giving somebody the opportunity maybe to ask for a no-cost?
If after this conversation we believe it's a predominant view that that's a big concern, we will talk about it. Close to the idea at this point, but the time frame that we have here now in terms of people responding to the RFP.
So anyone else who has this concern should speak up.
Right. Okay, other questions? I'm really not trying to be evasive on these questions. I'm trying to answer them as best as I can. Other questions for anybody on the phone?
As is Tom Dunn in Newbury, I have a point that I'd like to make. That is that inclusion of Russian data I don't think is necessary for the Chukchi, but it becomes quite important in the Bering Strait. And I think that responses ought to explain why the Russian data isn't needed or how it can be done without the Russian data.
Yeah, Tom, I think that it depends who you talk to. We have not made the Russian data a requirement for that very reason, also recognizing that accessibility to Russian data may be quite an issue and has been an issue in the past, depending on the disciplines. On some other, I'm sure we've talked to people involved in Rusalka, they'll tell you that, hey, you absolutely want the Russian side because it's really different and certainly has a cross-cutting impact. So that's why we've left it open. I think that if people include it or exclude it, they can make their argument of why they've done either way. And we're certainly open to that as long as things are well justified. Does that address your issue, Tom?
Sorry, I hit it on mute. Yes, it does answer the question.
Okay, great. Other questions, concerns, comments? Okay, I don't mean to, hold you back any longer than absolutely necessary. If there's no further questions, then we can wrap this up within an hour. That's fine by me. This is it's an opportunity for all of you to ask further questions. If there's follow-up questions, that you either don't want to ask in public or are going to think about later on, feel free to send me or Danielle an email, and we'll try to field those as best as possible. So if there are no other burning things that anybody wants to bring up, a recording of this conversation and a summary of this conversation with a list of people who wish to share contact information, discipline, wishes to collaborate, and so on, will be posted on our website at some point next week. So just go to that Arctic button on the NPRB website, and it'll, where the, you got the RFP from, and that information will be there, and we'll go from there.
So, Francis, just a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just want to confirm, RFPs, proposals will be submitted. They will be multidisciplinary teams. A winner takes all, is that it? One winner takes the major grant and then coordinates the entire effort?
That is the intent right now, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, who was that?
That was Peter Ross again.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, any other final questions? Okay, well then, I'll thank everybody for taking the time, for participating, and for your interest, and we'll hope to see lots of great proposals come in on March 9th. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's on a...